is almost 9:30 exactly. We are so close to being at 9:30 exactly.
How much you miss it by this time?
30 seconds.
30 seconds. Not bad. That's not bad.
Stupid commercials. I didn't figure those in. So.
Yeah.
Or I figured too much in for those. I didn't even know what I did wrong, honestly.
Yeah. Well, you took a week's vacation. You haven't got back in the rhythm yet.
No.
Before that, you were pounding out right at 9:30 almost every week.
Like a machine.
Yes. Yeah.
Now it's just all over the place. It's lost. It's gone. It is KCIM Sports Rewind. I'm John Ryan.
I'm Jeff Blankman.
And I'm Mason Nealand.
After thinking about that for a moment, they remembered their names. So there we go. Let's do some Sports Rewind here this morning. We got lots to talk about. There's volleyball playoffs that get started. Cross country is going to begin Wednesday, Thursday. Football playoffs. First I can ever remember of a football doubleheader happening.
Yeah, I know. Nathan Cones asked me that yesterday. And I said, in my 22 football seasons here, I've never had... any kind of a doubleheader before. I'm happy to have one.
Oh, no kidding. Yes. It's about time. So no, Kemper doesn't have to travel to go do a game in the playoffs because Carroll High has the field for their final regular season game.
Yep.
So what did it take? The association saying okay to be able to host this?
And Carroll and the city of Carroll or, the people of Carroll and stuff approving a turf field. Because years ago, before we became a turf facility, they would have allowed a doubleheader to be played here, but on a grass field, they're not going to do that because there's concerns about the second game and conditions of the field. And then the other thing that had to play out, I know Carroll High had reached out to Boyden Hall Rock Valley a year ago about moving their game up and, playing at a different time. But, that's a long haul from Boyden Hall Rock Valley in week nine, and they didn't have a desire to be able to either be here at 4 o'clock in the afternoon or to start at maybe 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night, which gets them back on the road at 11:30, and that's a 3-hour drive home. So they didn't want to move their game, and that made it where Kemper wasn't able to host last year here. But this year, with Carroll playing Atlantic in week nine, it's not that far to drive, so Atlantic was okay with moving their start time some. So
yeah, that's, I tell you what, it took everybody to cooperate. It's great to see that that's happening, but it's going to be a late night.
It is. It is.
There's no way they get that second game started at 7 o'clock.
No.
It's going to be more like 8.
Yeah, they're putting 45 minutes on the clock after the Kemper game is over and stuff. So, I'm guessing kickoff between 7:30 and 8 o'clock. I'm hoping that, both Carroll and Atlantic like to run the football. So hopefully the clock will just kind of keep running and stuff. Because I know the scoreboard show guys are like, what time are we starting the scoreboard show? And I'm like, it might be 10:30. Uh-huh. It might not be at 10 o'clock that you get the scoreboard show on this week.
I guarantee it will not be 10 o'clock. It'll be after that somehow. So Mason, you're letting the old guy do the games? Come on. I mean, we're not sure his voice is going to hold out here.
I had no say in that one. Jeff told me that he's taking the doubleheader this week, and so I get to go down and travel to Audubon.
All right, so
you've been wanting to see the Wheelers.
Oh yeah, that's a team that when you look at I look at the scoreboards that they have, and I'm like, I just want to see how you get to this outcome. I'm like, I can't just fathom winning by 70 points a game and scoring 85 a game and all that. So I'm like, I need to go see them live to be able to understand how good they are.
Yeah, I believe that's true. Honestly, everybody should be able to see that live. So aside from that, we're going to get to more on the football playoffs coming up here. But Blue Jays World Series against the Dodgers, quick picks. Who do you like?
Dodgers.
In how many? Four or five.
I'd probably go with the five there. I think the Blue Jays get one in Canada.
I'll take the Dodgers in five, but I will have to say this, man. I am praying so hard for Toronto to win it. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Dodgers guy. I'm not a Yankees guy. Those teams that spend, spend to buy championships. It's like, I grew up in the day, and I know the Yankees were really good back then, and so were the Dodgers, but I like it when you draft guys and then you bring them up through and you create a program. Just my style of it. Not that there's anything wrong with the way things are set up, and that if you can pay the guys.
Oh, there's totally wrong.
Yeah, and stuff. But yeah, I can't cheer for the Dodgers or the Yankees or the Red Sox.
See, you got to look the way the NFL has done that with a salary cap, and everybody's got to kind of play by the same rules.
Yes.
George Steinbrenner ruined all of that for baseball, honestly.
Yes.
So, I'm hoping for the Blue Jays. What I was really praying for was a Seattle-Milwaukee series. So it just upset the networks.
Yes.
Major League Baseball would have to refigure some things going forward because I would have loved to seen those two play in the World Series. But instead, we get the team that spends the most amount of money. And the Blue Jays are honestly an easy team to cheer for.
They are. They really are. I'm with you. I would have been okay if Milwaukee would have gotten through. Certainly okay with Milwaukee would have gotten through. I was okay with either Toronto or Seattle. I kind of like Toronto a little bit, not be a big Blue Jays fan, but it's just one of those franchises that's hard to dislike.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for Seattle, you hope one of these years they get it. They're the only, a team that doesn't
only
have a
team.
Pennant.
That has never been to the World Series.
Yeah.
College football, Iowa's up, Nebraska's down. Iowa State had the bye week, so I'm out of this conversation. What do you got, Mason, on Iowa?
It's a nail-biter of a game against Penn State. I thought we were going to lose to a third-string quarterback and a brand-new head coach, and I was not going to be a happy camper. But, I mean, Mark Gronowski played really well, I think. And
are you happy coming out of that game?
Kinda, yeah.
Yes, he is. You texted me at 8-something or something that night.
Great
Hawk.
Because of Friday.
So Iowa gets the win. Nebraska just gets shellacked by Minnesota. Minnesota played very physical. I think they're a sneaky good team.
Yeah, they were talking on the radio yesterday, and it's I think it's really true, and I think Nebraska and Nebraska fans, and especially the players and coaches, need to wake up a little bit to this. We've got two programs that kick our tail pretty much every year, even though, you know, sometimes it's a last-second field goal with one of them. But Iowa hates us. I mean, they hate us. They hate us with a passion. Minnesota has that same hatred for Nebraska. And Nebraska has kind of went into most of those games, you know, it's like, it's Iowa or it's – and not that, trying to put them down that they're not good, but there wasn't that same hatred back and forth. And when you got a team that hates you and they just really want to whoop your tail, they show up focused to whoop your tail. And when you just kind of show up going, oh, yeah, it's just another game, you get your butt whooped.
Yeah. And you lost the intensity game before the game even kicked off.
Yeah, and that's happened to us for far too long against both Minnesota and Iowa.
Is this still a hangover from the Big Ten? They're not seeing it like, oh, Nebraska's the newcomer in the Big Ten, even though they've been there for years.
Yeah, we've been there since 2010. I don't think it's that. I think part of it is that in this part of the country, we came in probably arrogant, and you know, we had dominated Iowa and dominated Minnesota for years and years in non-conference games, and now they get us in their league, and they get a chance to play us, and Nebraska's probably still got a little bit of that, you know, we won national titles, we're better program than you mentality, and I think for Iowa and Minnesota to come in and say, we're going to whoop your tail every year, and you know, the Iowa one, I don't know if the hatred started until our old AD that they finally fired here, you know, after he got rid of Pelini and hired Mike Riley. When he made the comment that, you know, we're firing, you know, Bo Pelini, even though he wins 9-10 games every year, because we have to gauge ourselves against Iowa, and we're struggling to beat a program that we should be dominating. Ever since he made that comment, we've beaten them once.
Mm-hmm.
We've beaten them once because that hatred grew for Iowa.
Tell you what, Iowa State, not sure what to think about this game going into BYU. The injury's still just unbelievable for Iowa State. Matt Campbell, still the talk. A lot of national sports people say he's going to Penn State or he should be the top choice, or it's Matt Rhule. And some people say, oh, Matt Rhule's checked out already. No, if they keep losing like that to Minnesota, there's no way he's going to Penn State.
Right, they lose to Northwestern this week. Who knows, you know, if you're Penn State, do you want him? The question, I've got some really diehard friends, really good friends of mine that live over in Ames. I've known them for 30-some years, and they swear that Matt Campbell is not going anywhere. Money's not going to have anything to do with the tradition of Penn State, that he wants to prove that you can win a national title and win and get into the playoffs consistently at Iowa State. And they have no fear that he's going at all. So, that'll be
interesting. I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked either way.
Yeah, no, I'd heard Campbell's name thrown around for about another job as well. I'd heard Florida with them firing their coach. Some people say Campbell, but I think he's just kind of the safe option to go with because he's built a successful program at Iowa State, and once you build something successful in college football, everyone thinks that the next step is to go up, and I think the next step that a lot of people think is SEC or Big Ten ball when you're in the Big 12, but I think for Campbell, it's no sense to leave. I mean, you go to Penn State, and you have to win these amount of games. If you're at Iowa State and you go 500, the Iowa State fans still love you as a coach.
Mm-hmm. There's no connection between Campbell and the SEC. I don't ever see him going there.
Right.
SEC fans would not appreciate him or just even accept him. Penn State, I can see a lot more for that one, but I don't know. I'd be would not be surprised either way,
If you're a successful head football coach right now, do you want to go to a Penn State program that just fired a coach that was 3 points away from taking you to the national championship game a year ago, has consistently won 10, 11 games for you over the last 7 or 8 years? In fact, they showed a report here right after he got fired that the last 20 years with Joe Paterno, they won three. They had three seasons where they won 10 or more. They had six 10 or more win seasons in the last 11 years under James Franklin, and that wasn't good enough. Do you leave in Iowa State where they're going to love you even if you go 6-5 one year, or 6-6, and then you win 9 or 10 the next year? Do you go to some place that's going to fire you if you're not winning 11 every year?
I will make an argument to that. A, they're going to have that capital investment right. deal with the Big Ten, so they're going to get a lot more money.
Yes.
And how hungry are Penn State fans going to be to bump up that NIL to
right.
give you the kind of team?
Right.
That you,
yep.
So, yeah, the pressure is going to be there, but there's going to be money to back it up.
There
it's
is.
Not expecting it without any support whatsoever.
Right.
So we got to move on. And by the yeah. way, Vandy, are they for real? Beat LSU against Diego Pavia, a 24-year-old quarterback in college football who apparently walks up the line of scrimmage and yells at the defense to get off his lawn. I mean, I swear, he's that old. So
I think they're probably for real. Are they top 10? I don't know. I haven't got a chance to see them play. I don't think LSU's as good as what their rankings no. were. So I think that, you know.
I'll assume before Kelly's under fire.
He's already under fire. You know, I think he's in a little bit of trouble right now. But I think they're good. I just don't know if they're top 10 good.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. The whole college football thing is crazy right
yeah.
now. It's fun to watch.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to volleyball. Of course, you got some playoffs underway, but better say congratulations, first of all, to a brand new record holder out there.
Yeah, we have had a ton of records broken this year in the volleyball season, and I'll try to do my best to put all those in the little recaps that I'll write up about all the kids that are invited to our Rewind All-Star festivities, which we're hoping to announce probably late this weekend or on Monday at the latest. But yeah, Malia Kleberg from Coon Rapids Baird, what a career, not just in volleyball that she's had. She was a great softball player, and it sounds like she's going to be back out for that this summer, and great, you know, basketball player, Rewind Player of the Year, you know, 2 years ago, and just a tremendous athlete. But she came the all-time kills leader in Coon Rapids Baird history last night, going over 1,000 in her career, finished with 20 last night. She routinely seems to be putting up 20 or more kills this season.
Yeah, her stat line's been impressive this year, as she's been the main focal point. And every coach I talk to that's going to go face Coon Rapids Baird, I think she's the name that they bring up as, we need to stop Malia Kleberg and we need to kind of keep her at bay there. But I don't know how many teams this season have found a way to stop Malia Kleberg, even slow her down. She's getting consistently 20 to 25 kills a night.
And they get a home playoff game coming up Wednesday night against Glidden-Ralston.
Yeah, get their big rival in Glidden, who played well last night. Mason, you got a chance to watch them beat Storm Lake St. Mary's.
Yeah, I had felt like that one. You know, obviously there's places to improve, but I felt like they played it particularly well in that matchup there. And I think that a lot of that was due to the fact that their passing in set one and set two was pretty good there, as well as their serving.
So volleyball playoffs. Give me some other highlights that have gone so far. You've got more games coming up tonight. You got Kemper. You got Carroll High in action in the playoffs. So tell me who else was making headlines.
We'll kind of run through last night just a little bit here. I do want to give a shout out to Peyton Chernan. They went up to Newell Fonda, which is never an easy place to play in any sport. And they played really, really competitively last night. Lost 25-19, 25-16, and 25-15. But those are really competitive scores again. Mm-hmm. A program that's been really, really good, and a state quality program now for probably close to a decade there with Newell Fonda. So a good job last night by Peyton Chernan, even in the loss, and I tip my cap to them. Coon Rapids Baird, we mentioned them with Malia last night. They did sweep by Arweva. Tough loss for the Rockets last night as their season comes to an end. Disappointing for them. They didn't get that win this year, so they finish up the season winless. But I think you saw some growth out of that team. There's some good young players. Vivian Blackford, Gabby Hundling, Annalie Wittrock, you know, Addison Beerle, Mara Obrick, you know, so you've got some players to be able to build around for the future. But a big night again for Malia last night. Anna Hart had another big night defensively and served seven aces. Amelia Cook also does such a fantastic job in serving. Ikea Manning looked sharp last night. I did their matchup with Booyer Valley. Dominated sets 1 and 3. Olivia Lindy put them on an 11-0 service run in set 1 to open that up. And then had a battle back in set 2, trailed most of that second set. Came back to win 25-22. Their serve was the difference last night. They were able to keep Boyer Valley, you know, out of system and throwing a lot of free balls out there, which allowed them to be able to, you know, be aggressive at the net. Probably the one area they need to fix is their serve receive. They struggle at that and go into funks at times, and they get out of system. And when they're out of system, they're not a great out of system team. But they're going to have a big matchup with Kingsley Pearson coming up on Wednesday night. Audubon swept by Heartland Christian last night, 3-0. Again, another big night for Anna Larson with 30 assists and 5 aces. It was also Harlow Miller last night with 9 kills. So just a really strong performance against a team that came in with one win and it really had struggled. And then, you know, you kind of get the Taryn Peterson and Jalen Peterson show with Xyrocrin Kimbledon. They roll past Cam last night in 3. Taryn had 11 kills, 12 digs, and 3 aces. Jalen, 22 kills to go with 9 digs and 4 aces as those two kind of carry the load. And then a big win for South Central Calhoun. They go to Panorama, a team they had lost to earlier this year. They go over there and pick up a 3-1 win. And where I tip my cap to them, you lose on the road 25-22 in the first set to a team you had already been swept by earlier this year. And then you do the you turn around and win 3 straight after mm-hmm. that. That's a nice job of focusing. Sadie Wheelock had a huge win for a huge night for him last night, as did Olivia Weiss. Morgan McChesney on, I guess, her 18th birthday. I didn't found that out this morning. It was her 18th birthday. Put a really nice night together in the back row for him last night. So
you wonder what changed after losing 4 straight games sets to him. All of a sudden, you turn around and win 3 in a row.
Yeah, I'm guessing that, to me, just in watching a lot of volleyball and have coached it for several years, if you get your serve, receive, and your pass going, and you get the ball up to your setter in good shape, and you can get into that rhythm, once you get that going, it's hard sometimes for defenses to get you out of it or your opponent mm-hmm. to get you out of it. So I'm guessing that they probably passed really well last night, which got the ball up to Sydney Stewart, who had a nice night with 27 assists. They probably got her in good shape, and then they probably got Panorama out of system and made them have to play, you know, and send over a lot of free balls is what I'm guessing. So
yeah. Next two nights are going to be huge for volleyball playoffs. Yep. As we mentioned, Sadella Kemper, Jeff, you've got that one on Kick 106.7 tonight. Mason, you're going to be with the Carroll Tigers at OABCIG. Give me a quick little preview of the matches tonight.
For Kemper, they just got to be focused. They've got to be Kemper. If they are, I don't think they struggle until probably the regional final, which is where your tough one should be. So I think they're going to be in really good shape. And Mason, you should have a barn burner tonight.
Yeah, I think that the biggest point of emphasis here is Carroll's got to play up to the level of competition they play this year. If they can play that Raccoon River volleyball, if they can play that kind of high level of volleyball, they should be able to beat OABCIG. And I can't say handle, though, because OABCIG, I know their record's not the best, but they play some tougher competition, and I don't know what this one on their home floor, and I think it's going to be a really good matchup.
Yeah, OABCIG, one of the better programs in their conference, the Western Valley. So they're a good volleyball program. They've done a nice job over there. They'll be aggressive at the net. But, you know, if Carroll can kind of play maybe one of their better matches of the season, they'll have a really legitimate chance to come out of there with a big win.
All right, then on Wednesday night, I tell you what, South Central making a long drive to Dyke, New Hartford.
Yes.
So that'll be a matchup that we will not be able to bring you because we got 4 other ones that we've got.
Yep.
Casey Miner is going to call the Ridgeview at ESAC match for us. Nick Brinks.
On the road again.
On the road again.
You betcha.
Just can't wait.
Nick's going to be on the road traveling to Coon Rapids. As Brinks and Glenn Ralston at Coon Rapids Baird. Jeff, you've got a YouTube game. Kingsley Pearson at IKM Manning. And Mason, you've got Woodbine at Audubon. You're going to learn Highway 71 like the back of your hand coming up here before too long.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone to Audubon a couple of times, and I don't have to use the map anymore. I know how to get there.
Thursday night followed up with more volleyball playoffs, but also Wednesday and Thursday, we got to fit in the cross-country state tournaments coming up.
Yeah, Kemper will have their state qualifying meet coming up on Wednesday. They go over. Gilbert is the host school, but that is always run at the Iowa State course there, kind of out by where the towers used to be. They've run that course before. They were there last year. They really like it. I think Dayton Wiederin's got a chance, maybe Fletch Baiting a chance to get through, but it's going to be tough. That's a really tough one, so they're going to have to run well. In Class 2A on Thursday, South Central Calhoun Southern girls and boys go to Eagle Grove. And Declan Spencer's got a chance to be able to get through, I think, for South Central Calhoun. Iris Melody may be on the girls' side of things, and Jossa Hoppert probably has a chance to get through as well. ICAM Manning girls and boys go over to ACGC. I know the ICAM Manning boys, they've got a chance to get through probably as a team. It's not going to be easy. Everybody's going to have to run well. I know they've been dealing with some injuries, and they've got to get everybody kind of healthy and to be able to finish that race, but they'll have a chance to make it as a team. And then ESAC's boys are at Emmitsburg, and the boys, they should be the favorite to win that one. They've been dominant all year, so I look for them to come out of there. If they don't finish first, they should finish second. Sioux Central's been kind of right behind them in a couple of meets this year, so mm-hmm. that should be a pretty good battle. But I think the ESAC boys advance. If they don't advance at a team, I think I'd be shocked. But if they don't advance, they've got three guys in Riley Aragon, Landon Spore, and Owen Engel. They'd probably advance as individuals.
And beautiful weather for both days. We're talking sunshine, low 60s temps, not a lot of wind. Not good. Like today. Today's got 40-mile-per-hour gusts. Worst possible day to run is today.
So right.
Thankfully, it's Wednesday, Thursday, so you expected some pretty good times.
Yeah, I had Derek Green in this morning, of course, from South Central Calhoun, runs cross country there. He's job shadowing with me in the morning, has to go leave at 9 to go back to school, and he's like, it was miserable this morning at cross country practice. He said it was freezing with that wind. I'm mm-hmm. like, yeah, I can imagine that. So
yeah. That's what state has been like many, yes. many times.
Yes.
So, girls swim team, they'll have a meet coming up at Sioux City West on Thursday. That all begins about 4:30. We're going to talk football coming up next here on KCIM Sports Rewind. It's brought to you exclusively by St. Anthony Regional Hospital.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
It is KCIM Sports Rewind, brought to you once again exclusively by St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services. It's John, it's Jeff, it's Mason. Let's talk a little Sack of the Game contest. Our latest winner, Rachel Knepper of Carroll. Rachel, you got yourself a sack of groceries from Market on 30. And all you got to do is stop on by and, of course, register at Market on 30 for next week's contest. Mason, what do we got for Sack of the Game?
McGuire Hoyt of the Kemper Knights. I felt like, you know, there was a couple sacks during that Kemper game, and I think a lot of those kept Okoboji out of rhythm on the offensive end there. The defense proved really big, but I think McGuire Hoyt, a guy that has stepped in and kind of taken over that linebacker position for the Kemper Knights when they needed a guy to come in there and fill that spot, he's going to be our Sack of the Game.
Sack of the Game, brought to you by Market on 30.
Good morning, all student-athlete parents. Don't let your hectic schedules keep you from feeding your family. The Market on 30 can help you with quick and easy options, like Pasquale's Pizzas, our famous mac and cheese, chicken strips, and much more. The Market on 30 in the BP Plaza.
Well, let's talk a little football playoffs. Week 8, kind of like a wah-wah weekend, wasn't it? I mean, Carroll High came up with a big win.
Yep.
Kemper obviously came up with a big win against Okoboji, but everybody else kind of struggling a little bit outside of Audubon.
Yeah, Kemper clinching the district with a dominant performance, beating Okoboji, another top five ranked team, 35-0. I wasn't totally surprised by it. I know some people maybe were a little surprised that they shut him out, but Okoboji had struggled offensively a little bit. It had been their mm-hmm. defense that had been kind of the star for them. So was not really surprised to see Kemper go out. I think the last 2 weeks you've seen the Kemper team that you're probably going to see in the playoffs, and that's a team that's been really, really good on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, first time of the year that Kemper has been held under 40 points, and that's in the district title game against a top three ranked opponent in Okoboji. So you got to tip your cap to the season that the Knights have had so far, but just looking ahead here, I know that they got Grandview Christian coming up on Friday. Some people say that that's not the game that they wanted to have there, because Grandview coming in at 5-3 as a 4 seed, you know, that record-wise looks better than where they're seated at, but I think Kemper's still pretty dominant in that one, hopefully.
You got them at home. That's all you can ask for. Audubon, of course, cruises into the playoffs.
Yeah, didn't anticipate much of a challenge there, in their final game of the regular season. Lennox is an interesting one in the postseason. They're not probably as good as they've been in the past. This is a traditional power. I know they're excited to come up and play Audubon. So if you're the Wheelers, I think you need to be focused, especially with the postseason coming up. But I think they look like they're going to make a run. They should anyway.
I just want to say I talked to Coach Sean Burks this morning, and he described this to me. They touched the ball. Their starters for offense touched the ball at the end of the first quarter. Then they did not see the offensive end of the field the entire second quarter because they had a scoop and score, a pick six, and a punt return touchdown. And then they came in the third quarter, and it was their backups that played. So their offensive had 8 snaps in the first half, and they scored, I think, all 8 times that they had a snap in the offensive half there.
And I said this on our preview show, I think, and maybe on the New Way Ford scoreboard show on a Friday night one time. I'm like, people are sometimes going to look at when we do our all rewind team and they're going to go, oh, this kid's numbers aren't very good because they look at stats. You got to remember, a lot of the Audubon guys are playing just a quarter, a week. Even same thing with some of the Kemper kids. It's hard when you're only carrying the ball 7 times to put up, huge numbers. But when you're dominating teams the way they are, they're not playing much in the second half.
Is there any big obstacles for Audubon and Kemper looking in the future?
Yeah, I think Audubon will have more obstacles than Kemper. Kemper being the number one seed, I think that you have a little bit easier path. But for Audubon being outside of that top four there, they're going to have to run into a top four team eventually. And I don't know. You've heard talks of Iowa Valley, you've heard talks of Woodbine, and I think it'll be 2 good matchups there. But I think for Audubon, I think they'll be tested late into the postseason, but I don't think it'll be early.
Yeah, Woodbine seems to be the team that sticks out to me there.
It does. I think in 8-man, you've got 5 really good teams. I would say 4 outstanding, and I throw Audubon in that category. So hopefully they don't meet up with Woodbine until the dome, because I just think that's a dome matchup. I'd rather see them go over and face Iowa Valley. I think that's a really good matchup, and it would be a hard-fought game, but I think that they can win that one. Not that they can't beat Woodbine, but I think Woodbine against them is a semifinal or a championship game. But Bishop Garrigan and Gladbrook Rhinebeck are also outstanding. None of those 4 teams, along with Iowa Valley, have been challenged at all this season. They've blown out everybody. For Kemper, there's really only one team that kind of jumps out to me a little bit, and that's probably more because of past things, and that's Prairie City Monroe. And it's a program that's traditionally strong. They're physical. They want to run the football at you. They want to beat you up defensively. They've had Kemper's number the couple of times that they've met in the past. They're not ranked as high this year as what they have been in the past, but that's kind of that one team that kind of, I think, jumps out. I don't know if there's anybody else in the rankings that, if I'm Kemper, I'm really concerned about in Class 2A. The talk from everybody around here seems to be Prairie City Monroe, but I don't think that matchup would occur anytime before maybe the championship game or the semifinals at the Dome. So if they show up and play the way they're capable of playing, I think that for them, there shouldn't be many challenges in getting to the Dome.
Before we get to the playoff matchups coming up on Friday, let's talk about that last regular season matchup. Carroll High rolls over Perry. That was expected. Got Atlantic coming in. Atlantic has shocked some people. Beat Harlan last Friday.
I was surprised
this is going to be a test for Carroll.
Yeah, I was surprised on that one. I thought Harlan, I told Mason way back in the beginning that I said, I think Carroll wins the district, Harlan takes 2nd, Atlantic or Greene County is 3rd, and then the other team out of that is 4th. So for Creston to knock off Greene County and take 4th and Greene County to fall to 5th, I was a little bit surprised. But yeah, for Atlantic to get that win and to pull a Harlan against Harlan, they return a kickoff for a touchdown to clinch the win in the closing seconds of that game on Friday night.
How many times has Harlan done that over the years?
Yeah, and Harlan had just scored to take the lead with like 40 seconds left to go in the game, and you're thinking, here's Harlan, it's over, they've rallied again, and they score late again, and for Atlantic to house the kickoff return was was really cool for them. So, yeah, it sets up a clear district championship matchup with Carroll High. That's the second game of the doubleheader that I get a call. I'm gonna reach out probably to Jerry Fleshen to see if he's going to help me. But, Jerry, just giving you a heads up, you might have to do some play-by-play if my voice ends up failing.
No kidding. That's a long night, especially two football games. So let's get to the schedule Friday night, of course. First of all, it'll lead off with the Kemper game. That is a 4:25 p.m. pregame.
Yes.
Very, very early with a 5 p.m. kickoff time. Atlantic, of course, they're going to be at home as they host Lennox once again. That'll be on KKRL with Mason, of course. So that's a more normal start time, 6:25 pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff time. Nick Brinks. I tell you what, we already played the Willie Nelson thing for Nick. Now we're going to play this one. You don't need to get there till 6:30, Nick, but he'll be in Clarksville with Coon Rapids Baird at Clarksville coming up on Kick 106.7.
Should have played Jet Airliner because he may need to fly to Clarksville instead of taking the train.
No. Anytime I can play the Monkees, man, I'm doing it. Arweva at Glenbrook Rhinebeck. That's another game that kicks off at 7 o'clock. IKM Manning is at West Sioux. And then East Sac at West Lyon, South Central Calhoun at Underwood are the other playoff games. But yeah, that's the roundup of the games coming up on Friday night, plus the scoreboard show afterwards.
Yeah, and I was shocked, to be honest with you, when all of the playoff pairings came out. We don't have anybody that has a short travel. Everybody's got a really long drive, and everybody kind of got stuck with a really, really tough first-round matchup. The IKM Manning one just shocks me a little bit. Here you got a 6-2 team that finished, yes, third in their district, but they're kind of graded as the top three seed in the entire state. They're taking on a team that's ranked in the top five and was a runner-up, and their only loss was a 7-point loss to the number one ranked team in the state that's graded as the number one two seed in the entire state. So how are you matching the number one three against the number one two in the opening round? And as I talked with Corey McCarville today, he goes, I can make it to Iowa City in the same amount of time I drive to Hayward. And he goes, it's not like we didn't have a lot of other options. He says, you know, it's about geography, but that's a really long drive for them.
Another question for Chris Cuellar sometime.
Yes.
How did you come up with that one? So anyway, it's going to be fun. A lot of fun coming up this Friday night as we've got, four football games broadcast?
Yeah, four football. I forgot the doubleheader,
Yeah, the doubleheader going on. So hopefully, Jeff, your voice holds out. Mason, have fun in Audubon this next week, and we'll be back next week with KCIM Sports Rewind.